You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to My Big Break. Here on the VOC Nation, we bring you these conversations with your favorite superstars from all over the world of pro wrestling. We're going to talk about their stories, climbing that hill, climbing that mountain, and getting to where they want to be. And we have got really an amazing, I think an amazing first chapter in what is going to be an amazing book that will be our guest's career this week. You know her, you know her face, you know her voice, you know her by many names. she is here this week, Alyssa Marino. Hey, how are you?
Hello, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on. This is so exciting.
Thanks for being here. You are obviously no stranger to being on the other side of things, interviewing so many people. But now we're going to turn the tables on you. So I hope you're ready for that.
Fair enough. Okay.
So we spotlight so many different kinds of stories on this show about, people who've had goals and climbed those ladders and found their own unique journeys to get to those places. And a lot of them are and will tend to be people who are kind of maybe in the second half of their career, so to speak. They're looking back. They're looking back at what they know and they believe are their career highlights. For you, it's a little bit different because I think that what we're going to talk about is just the very first of what is going to be a lot of career highlights yet to come for you, but still an amazing story. And I kind of started in the middle of your story a bit when the idea came to bring you on this show, because it was actually Letty Leonard, who many know as the voice of Evolve, the voice of WNN, who had posted on social media, and he had posted this story about you and his respect for you and how you had come to an Evolve seminar at one point on your own dime, on your own time, just making your way out essentially across the country. Not even really with a curriculum or a place for announcers at this seminar or what you were looking to do, but just trying to shoehorn your way in there just to be seen, just to learn, just to grow, just to find an opportunity. And that says a lot to me about where your mind and your heart and your head has been your entire career leading up to, you know, even to this very day. Your love of pro wrestling. Obvious, your love of being a part of pro wrestling, obvious. Where did that come from for you?
So it's I have a very different wrestling journey than I think a lot of people that are involved in pro wrestling. I watched when I was very, very little with my great grandfather, and then I stopped for the longest time. And it wasn't until I actually moved out to LA 2016, I really started kind of diving back in. And that was when I started kind of going through the catalog of everything that I had missed along the way. There were snippets here and there, but I wasn't as immersed as I was when I started watching again in 2016. And then it was just the crunch. And, you know, I think I just wanted to explore everything. I had a real thirst for the knowledge and the experiences that had happened already. So I wanted to kind of dive in and do all my research.
What brought you out to LA? Because at one point you were pursuing a career in opera. Is that right?
So I have been singing since I was very little, and I took voice lessons. I was all through high school. I majored in vocal performance in college, and I did the auditions. I did little operas here and there. And I think I fell kind of out of love with it, and then ended up transferring with my job, just my regular retail office job, and made my way out to LA, where I kind of started getting involved in the wrestling world. And I think it was just kind of that want for an adventure, a change of scenery, something new, something I never thought I would ever do. And I think it made a world of difference.
Did you have in the back of your mind at that time, because now it's on the table, a move to LA? I mean, how do you not think, I'm kind of around the entertainment world right now, and it's sort of a general way, was that in the back of your mind, something?
I don't think so. I don't think it was something that was on the forefront of my mind. I think I just wanted a different experience. I wanted a different, I mean, climate, first of all. I was in Philadelphia, so I was like, oh, climate, first of all. I think I just really enjoyed the atmosphere I was in. One of the first things I actually did out there was I took a class about writing comic books. I think I was just kind of playing around. I was at a very interesting point in my life where I just wanted to see what was out there and what I could explore. Coming out to LA, I don't think that was on the forefront of my mind. I think it was more so about just the change of environment, the change of scenery, a different atmosphere, a different group of people, I guess. I feel like the vibe in California was very different. I was born and raised in Philadelphia. The climate was definitely a plus. So yeah, I think that while it wasn't something that I went there with the intention of, I think it was always, I mean, it's something I've done since I was little. Like, I did musical theater. I did all the acting. I did like a commercial when I was in first grade. Like, I think it was something that I had an interest in, but I didn't go out there with that specific intention. So one of the first things I ended up doing when I moved out there was I took a class at a comic book shop about writing a comic book. So it was just, I like to do creative things, but I don't think that necessarily the entertainment business was an intention of mine.
And people don't realize, I mean, you know, you talked about how you were starting to rekindle your passion for pro wrestling, so to speak. People don't realize how much wrestling is going on out there, right? I mean, it's a pretty robust scene.
Absolutely. And I think that was something that was one of the most fun things. This was back, I mean, 2016, 2017, going to all the independent shows. And the atmosphere there was just so, it was amazing. And I think that was really something that even propelled my interest further, was I want to get into this. I want to be part of this.
Is that what happened? You just started attending as a fan, and then the more you saw it, like, what was forming in your idea for exactly what you wanted to do with this?
So when I initially got interested in it, I started thinking possibly wrestling, but I thought of a manager character, and I thought of Kathy from Human Resources, with her Midwestern accent and the death of fun, no high flying, no, you know, nothing from the top rope. You know, there's all these rules and regulations. I thought that would be a really funny kind of killjoy character to bring to, and I was even thinking just to bring to SoCal, to bring to the wrestling scene there. And I was thinking in the back of my mind, maybe wrestling is something I would like to try. So I did a one-day tryout at Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy and went through all the rolls and the bumps, and it was very intense. It was very eye-opening as to what even an afternoon of that feels like. So, but we ended the one-day tryout with cutting a promo, and that was where I felt the most at home. That was where it felt good. It felt right to me, and it's something I had been, you know, driving in the car, like doing little promos in my head, and finally getting the chance to do that in front of, you know, more than just myself in my rearview mirror was really exciting. And I, after the one day tryout, I remember Joey Chaos saying, "Hey, we want to do a class that's just for managers, announcers, production. We'll let you, like, we'll stay in touch and we'll let you know when that happens." And I think 3 months later, they ended up doing the manager class that I got to be a part of at Santino Brothers.
Awesome. That's awesome. So you knew right then, this is my path. This is sort of what I want to do at this point. And then it obviously blossomed from there into a lot of different things.
100%. I think I went in with the intention of doing the manager role, and I did it for a while just at independent shows. And then as soon as I got the opportunity to do the, you know, backstage correspondent, do the interviews, to starting to do commentary, the manager character kind of fell to the wayside, because I realized I was enjoying more driving everyone's storylines as opposed to just my wrestlers or just my own. I wanted to be part of the bigger picture.
Now, when in the independent scene, especially when you're young and you're hungry and you're just so excited about being able to just do what you do, you kind of a lot of times just want to get out there and work everywhere, anywhere you can. Was that sort of your mentality there? Because there were so many places even in the area that you could get involved with. And was it just kind of immersing yourself in the culture, so to speak, getting to know people and finding opportunities to do different things everywhere?
100%. I think a lot of the time it was, you know, one of the things we always talk about at Santino's is about having respect, going and making yourself available, get in where you kind of can fit in. So a lot of the time I would go to help set up or go to do ring crew. And one of the things they always say is just always bring your gear. So I always was prepared in case anything were to happen. And there were times where I would go to a show with the intention of just helping to set up and tear down. And I remember one of the first times going to Championship Wrestling from Hollywood was a group of us from the manager class went, and we went with the intention, hey, we're gonna help with the ring, cool beans. And after we get done setting up the ring, they're starting to do the backstage, like pre-taped interviews. And I forget who, I want to say it was Jeremy Marcus, who now is a referee for New Japan. He was one of our referee trainers at Santino Brothers. He had asked me, is that something you're like interested in doing? I said, absolutely. And I think it was just that I was so hungry and I wanted to try everything. I wanted to learn everything. So I was like, yes, yes, yes. I'll just say yes. So I had come from working the night before, so I still had my work blouse in the car. So I was like, okay, I got my blouse. Like, let's go. And it just kind of happened that I got to do a little backstage interview audition there. So it was just so much of it was happenstance and just being in the right place and more so being there with the intention of helping out the production as opposed to going with the intention of, oh, I'm going to do commentary at this show, at least in the beginning.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Right, right. It seems almost like, in a really vague way, it almost seems similar to the mentality of growing your brand or growing your audience through social media. You know, being involved with a lot of communities and groups and things like that, but not necessarily going in to promote or sell yourself, but to be sort of a genuine part of the scene and to be someone that people look to as someone valuable to be around. And then suddenly you were everywhere. How busy were you?
It's so funny. I think in the moments I was having bookings every weekend, but it still didn't feel like enough. I think I know I'm my worst critic. So I was always, you know, comparing like, oh, well, I could be doing more. And what about this? And what about that? So it took a while to kind of reel myself back in and realize like, hey, you're busy. You're doing okay. So, yeah, but there would be weeks where it would be maybe a show on a Thursday night, and then a Saturday night, and then a Sunday all day taping at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And those were the weeks that I loved. I loved that I had that kind of stuff to look forward to. So it was definitely fun. And just like you said, kind of wanting to be everywhere. So going to Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor in Vegas with friends from Santino Brothers with the intention of, again, going to help out with Ring Crew, and it turning into, hey, this is a 2-day thing. On the second day, you know, we might be able to have you on a dark match. And I ended up being on the broadcast with, it was Bateman versus Jake Atlas at Death Before Dishonor. And that was something that, again, didn't realize it was going to happen, but just went with the intention of just wanting to help out. And yeah, it just kind of happened.
That's awesome. Now, you mentioned Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I think that promotion and everything that they've done is almost one of wrestling's best kept secrets, because not enough people realize the level of quality of the production, of everything that they've accomplished, even, you know, as far as syndication and just getting the content out there. How valuable was the experience of being part of that?
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, I think, is one of the biggest learning experiences that I got to have. I started working there. I don't think I'd even finished the manager class. So I was doing the Santino Brothers manager class, but then also on weekends, you know, maybe once or twice a month, I was able to be immersed in a television production. And I think that was really just such a valuable experience of getting to pick people's brains, getting to just kind of peek in on the production room. And I tell the story. One of, I think, the wildest moments was we did the red carpet rumble, and sitting in on just the madness that was happening in that production room. And I think it was the most stressful, you know, 50 minutes of my life, but I wasn't even doing anything. I was I think it was just something so incredible about watching the inner workings. And it was definitely something I think that I always have had an interest in. And like I said, it's just for me always about learning. So everything about that, from getting to actually do interviews to sitting in the back, I think was fantastic.
And the track record speaks for itself, because you're one of several people who, on the broadcasting side, microphone in hand, who were able to go on and have opportunities to work with the WWE family, with NXT. Do you think that, I mean, we'll talk about the story of how that happened momentarily, but do you think that experience and just sort of the level of being involved with that sort of production is what was so universally impressive and was able to be sort of a big conduit to getting that opportunity?
I do think so. I think that being able to show that I had a familiarity with a television production, a lot of what I was doing with backstage interviewing was thinking on my feet and being able to put together a compelling story. I definitely think it was all stuff that played into making me a good candidate for, you know, for the live host opportunity that I had.
So when you look at even the past 3, 4, 5 years beyond, you know, most of my lifetime, certainly, you know, watching and paying attention to WWE, what you find is that broadcast team, what they look for in an announcer or somebody of, you know, somebody that's part of the broadcast team, it's often somebody from outside of the world of wrestling, right? Like, there's so many sportscasters who come in. There's so many, you know, we've seen people from proper journalism come in, if that's the correct term. And maybe even sometimes it's, you know, people who back in the day who've come in through the Diva search, or people who've come in through the system that they've decided to kind of push towards that interviewing role or announcing role. You coming from this place of passion, from this path that's so directly, you know, part of the pro wrestling world, to now, you know, try to get into that sort of pinnacle product of professional wrestling, it makes all the sense in the world. It's just not how it's been done for such a long time. What do you think changed about that? How do you think that affected you? And again, you know, several people from Championship Wrestling from Florida had that same opportunity. It's such a cool change, but did you feel like there was sort of a different approach based on, you know, how you'd known them to approach things in the past?
You know, I can't really speak on what they, you know, have done in the past, but I think that one of the biggest catalysts for, at least from my experience, was one of my biggest mentors there, Alicia Taylor, who the ring announcer for NXT. It's actually really funny. Our paths didn't cross while we were both in SoCal, but she was very immersed in the independent scene out there. She did heavy Wrestle TV, which was like, she would do interviews as well. So I think that it was something where having that vibe and having that influence, I think, made a difference in, at least I can speak to the vibe that I felt while being part of the company, for sure.
Really great. So how did that opportunity actually come about for you, and what was sort of the length of that process from, you know, from start to finish and to the, you know, arriving into Orlando?
So I actually ended up filling out a profile on the career site, and kind of went from there. I think that something that helped was how involved I was in the scene in Southern California. So I don't know if my name had gone around or anything like that, but I ended up having an audition in, I think it was in October, and then I moved in January of 2020. So it was definitely a process, but I got to have the experience of flying out to Orlando in October, you know, working on things in the ring as far as ring announcing and like different things that I would do in the role as a live event host. So not necessarily stuff with announcing, a little bit of backstage interviewing, but definitely the focus was on the live event hosting and the ring announcing.
So as far as the audition, they bring you out to the performance center directly.
For me, and I did get to go. I was out in the performance center for mine in 2019.
Okay, and then. Like, what kind of things do they, because we've heard so much about, you know, wrestlers and the things they have to go through with different tryouts and things like that, but when you're an announcer and you're on your own and they're bringing you out, are they just kind of putting you through the paces? I mean, we've even heard the old school story about, you know, here, sell us the top, that sort of thing. Did you have to do any of that?
I didn't have to do that. It was more so, like I said, for the live event hosting, it was a lot of focus on ring announcing. So that was really what it was mostly focused on.
Cool. And then what happened after that process? You go home, you have to wait to hear something, I assume. And
yeah.
How long was that wait?
I actually don't remember how long the wait was. I think everything from October to January just felt like a kind of a whirlwind. So I actually can't remember how long it took for me to find out, but yeah, I just remember that it was like a process to then start kind of planning a cross country move. So I think everything kind of went into that as opposed to actually, having any kind of sense of time.
You know, we skipped an important step in the story, of course, which is going back to the beginning. We talked about that moment in time where you went to that Evolve seminar. Now, as the story goes, as we said, you kind of said you were going for what? You had said you wanted to go as a manager when you weren't actually looking to necessarily do that. You were trying to get in the door, essentially. But your heart was in the right place. How was that received once you got there?
So luckily, it was received well. So, and to be fair, I went to the seminar with the intention of, they said, wrestlers, referees, and managers. I said, hey, you know what? Worst case scenario, I brought my Kathy from HR get up. I was like, I can do it again. I can resurrect Kathy from HR. That's possible. So it was actually Tommaso Ciampa who gave the seminar, gave a lecture, walked through a lot of things with the wrestlers and with everyone in attendance. And I remember one of the things he said was, do something, because we were going to do practice match, or we were going to do matches. And he said, do things that showcase your best work. You know, don't try and do something beyond what you normally would do. Be 100% you and present what you do. So I start getting into my Kathy from HR getup. And I'm going around. I'm like, okay, I have to find someone to manage. And I'm the only one there from LA, so I don't know anybody. And I'd been talking with a couple of people there, but I started going up. I'm like, hey, you guys, you guys need a manager for your match? No, okay. Hey, do you guys need a manager for? Oh, you have one. Okay. And I started getting nervous. I'm like, oh no, I didn't come all the way out here to not be able to do anything. So I go up to Ciampa. I was like, hey, so I know that you said that we should do and present who we are and what we do. I don't do this. I'm an announcer. I'm a commentator. Is there any way that I can do commentary for the practice matches? I can just record it and then, just so I can do what I do. And he turned to I forget who it was that he was talking to. He's like, can she do that? Yeah, you can do that. I was like, okay. So, and I think it was one of those things where it was the first time that I had really taken a chance on myself and said, hey, let's just see what happens. And luckily it went well. And he put me in touch with Trevin Adams. And then Trevin said, Lenny Leonard is going to be doing commentary for the show. They were actually doing an Evolve show that night. And he's like, when Lenny gets here, I'll introduce you and you can kind of pick his brain. And that I think was one of like the shining moments of the seminar for me too, was actually getting to sit down with Lenny and gosh, just ask him all the questions in the world. And it was fantastic. And again, one of those things where not expecting anything from it, but I was able to call the dark match of the show with Trevin Adams and have that experience as part of this seminar. So it was wild. And it was, again, something I didn't know what to expect going into it and probably had all the anxiety in the world because I didn't know what to expect going into it, but ended up being a really, really incredible experience.
And of course it led to, well, I don't know how directly it led to NXT, but certainly it was part of that journey.
Yeah.
And now you're on a whole different level. You're in NXT at this point of the story, and you'd already been through the experience of some level of working with TV production and such out in Hollywood. But how different was this? How much of a learning curve was there once you actually officially arrived at the Performance Center and made that leap?
I definitely think it's just for me, I think it was so polished and so professional, and it was just felt like, okay, I'm on a new level. I need to, you know, I think I had bad habits of like ring announcing on the independence team. So it was even just, hey, I got to like be aware of my posture and how I'm announcing, as opposed to I think it was something where I wanted to make sure that I was presenting the company in a good way. And I think it was something, not necessarily that I had to learn, but I think I had to make myself mindful of. But yeah, it just definitely felt like, okay, you're here now. Like, come on, get it together.
obviously the world kind of shut down at some point, and that kind of derailed things for a lot of people, yourself included. During your time with NXT, would you say that you found your groove? Would you say that you got to a point where you felt like your head was firmly above water and you were confident and comfortable with where you were?
I feel like I was right there. I was getting there for sure. I think it's like anything. It's like you said, a learning curve. It's adjustment and kind of finding your footing. And I think I was just about to get there.
Now, of course, what we're alluding to is the fact that, you know, with the pandemic, a lot of moves were made, a lot of changes happened within the company. And unfortunately, a lot of people at that point had to say goodbye to the company at that moment in time. Did you see it coming? I mean, everything happened so fast last year that, I mean, do you have any idea how long this situation with the pandemic might last and affect the business and affect you directly?
I don't think anybody did. So I think that it's one of these situations where I think I have never felt more go with the flow than I have in 2020. Or it's just like, oh, this is happening. All right, cool. Oh, that's happening now. Okay, cool. Oh, this is still all right, fine. So I think I don't think anyone could have anticipated.
Well, considering the rationale behind it, I mean, obviously this isn't necessarily a finger being pointed right at you. This is a situation that's bigger than all of us, a situation that cannot be controlled. But still, to an extent, it's got to be an emotional moment in time for you and your career and your life. How did you take it? How were you able to roll with the punches a little bit?
I think so. I think putting it in the perspective of this is a global thing. This is so much more than just me, you know? So I think using the opportunity to do productive things and keep my mind busy was one of the biggest helps. And then, you know, resurrecting Let's Get Cereal was, I think, one of the big things that kind of got me. I think it was one of the big things that kept me motivated to, hey, I have a show to do. I have to produce new content every week. Hey, I have to, what cereal am I going to do now? It was just so much more things that I could do to lift my spirits, lift the spirits of people that were watching, of fans of the show. I think that was one of the big helps.
And I think that's such a cool part of this chapter of your story again, also because you were so used to being so busy. I'm sure your NXT time busy, all day, every day. But even before then, you know, you just go back to your weeks and months and years of, you know, working nonstop for 18 different promotions and, you know, contributing content here, flying around over to the other side of the country there. And now none of it's going on because, especially going back to last year, everything was shut down. So, you know, there's no live events for you to be at. There's nowhere for you to go. But instead of, you know, just curling up into a ball and crying for the last year, you turned your attention back to your content and you were able to kind of create a new path for yourself. And that's awesome. And like you said, I think it not only would have helped you and your mental and emotional state, so to speak, but so many others who have now come to watch it depend on you, just like we've done for so many people who've turned this direction and created content that has helped us get through all this. Do you feel the weight of that as far as interaction with those who are watching and listening and who are appreciating what you're doing?
To me, I don't think it feels like a weight or a responsibility, but it feels like an honor to be able to, okay, if I'm part of somebody's Saturday morning that, you know, I've said it before. It's like, hey, if you don't have someone to eat breakfast with while you're, you know, quarantined alone at home, let's eat, you're eating breakfast with me, you know? So let's have a little interaction.
Let's get cereal. Hashtag let's get cereal.
Hashtag let's get cereal.
For those who don't know the show, they've not yet checked it out for whatever reason that might be, tell them exactly what goes on here, because it's kind of exactly like what it sounds like.
I don't beat around the bush. It is what it is. So I try out different cereals and I talk about stuff. Sometimes I just go off on little stories or nostalgia, different memories. And oftentimes I'll bring on someone from the pro wrestling world just to kind of have a little chat, talk to them about, you know, when they were a kid. I feel like cereal is such a nostalgic thing. And I feel like sports entertainment is also a pretty nostalgic thing for a lot of us. So I think it's just an opportunity to sit down, have a chat and just think about things that aren't really our current situation. Just think about, you know, the good old days.
That's awesome. That's amazing. You know, for now, all of you can get your fix of Alyssa on this show on Let's Get Cereal. And hopefully in the months to come, as we go on, we're going to be seeing you once again back in a lot more places, aka everywhere, like we did before. And we can't wait to see what happens next on your journey.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Boo Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union House Band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Boo Ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
Since 2012, HIAC Talk Radio has been bringing you the best of independent wrestling and wrestling on the worldwide scale, with interviews and other segments now featuring The Wrestling Historian with Craig Ligon every Thursday night at 6 p.m. at VOCNation.com, or go to your Android or iPhone and type in VOCNation. And subscribe to the greatest wrestling podcast network in the world. Listen to HIAC Wrestling Podcast today.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hola, This is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.